sunglasses, contacts turned her eyes into bluebells. And under her breezy blue summer dress, one with short sleeves to hide the scar under her armpit, she wore a fake baby belly filled to simulate a woman at about 20 weeks. On the third finger of her left hand, she sported an impressive wedding set, cubic zirconia, but sparkly enough to pass for real. She'd sprung for a good mani-pedi, French for class, and carried a Prada summer bag to go with her sandals. She looked like a polished young pregnant woman of some means. She spotted the pair of hikers, man and woman, sitting on their packs while they waited to board. Young, too, she thought, and the woman looked hot and tired. She wandered over, a hand on her fake baby, as she'd observed pregnant women did.
"Hi. I hope you don't mind if I ask if you know any easy, really easy, hiking trails on Tranquility. My husband's a serious hiker, and when he gets here later in the week, he's going to be all about it. I'm just not up for the serious hikes."
She smiled as she said it, rubbing that bump.
"Sure,"
the woman answered Patricia's smile.
"You can get a map at the information center back there."
"You can get them on the island, too," the man told her. "The ones at the info centers are free, but they have better ones at some of the shops. They don't cost much, I guess."
He got a map out of his pack.
"We can show you a couple nice, easy beach hikes. The one out to the lighthouse is a little longer and tougher, but it's worth it."
"Great. Mostly, I just want to sit on the beach, read, watch the water, but Brett loves to hike. Where are you coming from?"
She chatted them up. She, Susan, call me Susie, Breen, had driven up from Cambridge. Her husband, Brett, had been called out of town suddenly on business, but she was happy to have a couple of days to get the cottage, one they'd rented for 6 wonderful weeks, ready, lay in supplies, have that time to sit and read and watch the water. They, Marcus Tidings and Lisa Hopp, chatted right back.
"Say, why don't I give you a ride over? I have to pay for the car anyway, and they don't charge for passengers. It would save you the pedestrian fee. Plus, I can take you into the village, at least as far as the rental office where I have to pick up my keys."
Grateful, they walked to her car before Patricia realized she'd missed changing plates at the rest stop with the Massachusetts plates on a Subaru. Smiling as she cursed herself for the slip, she came up with a cover story. Borrowed her brother's car. But her friendly hikers didn't notice as she chatted. She told Lisa to sit in the front with her so she didn't feel like a taxi driver. They embarked, a group of three, having hung out at the rail on the trip over. When Patricia drove off at Tranquility Dock, the deputies on ferry duty didn't look twice at the SUV with Ohio plates, carrying 3 passengers and a cargo space full of luggage. As Patricia stopped at the rental office for her keys and welcome package, Simone used a blowtorch to heat the bronze until it turned gold. She brushed ferric nitrate over Reed's hair, over Barney, over areas she wanted hints of red and gold to shimmer with the bronze. She'd used silver nitrate on the sword. On the collar, she'd given Barney to bring out a silvery gray patina. The work would take hours, but she considered it an improvement on the ancient method of burying the bronze to oxidize it. And this gave her control, allowed her to highlight, add a kind of movement and life. She'd worked and studied with patineurs in Florence and New York to learn the art, the science, the techniques. For this, a piece that had become so intimate to her, she called on all she had, asked herself for more. When she paused in the work, she walked her studio, drinking water, clearing her mind. And she studied the faces on her shelf. More now. Throughout the finishing of the bronze, she'd taken breaks, worked on those faces. The last one she'd completed looked back at her with wide, smiling eyes. Trent Woolworth, the boy she'd loved, as a young girl loves. He'd never had a chance to become a man. She'd thought he'd broken her heart, but he'd barely pricked it. She knew that now, and felt for him only regret and grief. She'd join his face with the others, all the others, and cast them in bronze as she had Reed. Cupric nitrate, she thought, for the subtle and beautiful greens and blues to mirror the water. She could do this, would do this, not only because she'd finally found it inside her, but because the man she did love helped her open the rest. She put on her gloves, turned back to the sculpture of Reed. Hours later, her shoulders stiff from the final steps of sealing, waxing and buffing, she went down to Cece's studio. Through the glass, she saw her grandmother at her framing station, so she walked in.
I wondered if you'd surface.
So did I, but I... Oh, Cece, I love it! Reed's house! The lupins like a sea of color, the woods, the light! Fairies in the woods, just a hint of them in that dappled shade, she murmured. And Reed standing on the widow's walk with Barney, with me.
That's how I see it. I'm going to give this to him, and as I see it, you, for Christmas. You'll be living with him by then, unless my granddaughter's an idiot, which she's not. I think this would work in the master bedroom.
It's perfect. You're perfect.
She took Cece's hand. Can you stop for a minute, come outside?
If there's an adult beverage involved, I can.
That can be arranged.
Give yourself and Reed a break, Cece said as they walked out and across to the patio. Go to his place tonight. You've both been working crazy hours. You're both tense, waiting for that next shoe to drop since that last ugly card arrived. Go, crack a bottle of wine and have a lot of sex.
I'm on that same path because, you see, I finished him.
Cece's breath caught. The artist and grandmother felt her heart soar.
Oh. Oh, Simone.
She walked to the counter where it stood in the late afternoon light.
It has life. A pulse, a soul, and more. Oh, the patina. Such light and depth and movement. The detailing, the flow.
She let the tears burning her throat free.
Get me that wine, baby, and a tissue. I'm overwhelmed.
She took a breath, moved around the sculpture as Simone opened a bottle.
Years ago, back in Florence, at your first show, your use of tish, your emergence, grabbed me just this way, brought me to tears this way. You do beautiful work, Simone, some of it stunning. But this, like emergence, has your heart and soul in every line, curve, angle.
She took the glass, the tissue.
He's magnificent. He breathes. You won't have to tell him you love him when you show him this.
Unless he's an idiot, which he's not.
I'm ready to tell him.
Then go do it.
Cece drew Simone close.
Go get your man.
In her beach cottage, Patricia used the second bedroom for weapons. Guns and ammo, a night vision scope, poisons, syringes, knives. Her HQ, she thought. She would put up maps of town, document her target's routines, his close associates. She'd learn where he drank his beer, ate his lunch, who he fucked. She'd keep the door locked, tell the housekeeper her husband was territorial about his office space. No entry allowed. She set men's toiletries in the master bathroom, put men's clothes in the master bedroom closet, the dresser. Later in the stay, she'd leave men's shoes here and there and other items carelessly tossed around. She set out a copy of What to Expect When You're Expecting, which she'd dog-eared and marked up in advance. Hiking gear that read male, a bottle of top-shelf gin, which she'd pour out into the sink a bit now and then, her unblended scotch, which she'd drink herself, a couple bottles of fancy wines and craft beers, the food supplies she'd bought at a stop at the market. Satisfied, she went out for her first stroll through the village. Easy to mix and meld with groups and crowds. Simple to wander into a shop and buy a few trinkets, including a pair of bathing trunks and a Light of Tranquility t-shirt she told the shopkeeper her husband would love. She spotted Reed within a half hour, holding a dog on a leash while he, from the looks of it, gave a bunch of people some directions. You've come down low, big shot detective, she thought.
She didn't follow him directly. She strolled, crossed the street, window shopped. But she kept an eye on him all the way back to his rinky-dink police station and considered it a good start. After Simone's text, Reed decided for once he could go home before dark. Maybe the day only seemed quiet after the craziness of the holiday, but it was quiet enough. He walked Barney toward home. The itch between his shoulder blades had him circling a little, scanning a lot, but he saw nothing and no one that drew his attention.
"Can't let the waiting psych us out, Barney. Take it a day at a time."
Seeing Simone's car parked in front of the house lifted him up. Seeing her sitting on the porch, sipping wine, finished the job.
"You're early."
"Pretty quiet today. The chief of police is taking the night off."
"That's handy. So am I. I've missed nights off with you."
She pulled a chew bone out of her pocket. "And you too, Barney."
"Just sit right there. I'm going to get a cold beer and we'll sit a while."
"Actually, I have something to show you." She took his hand. "And things to say," she added as she drew him inside.
She'd found a stand for it at the flea market, knowing he'd appreciate that sentiment too. It stood in the entryway, a statement to her mind. He'd protect all within. And there, the bronze caught the early evening light just as she wanted. He stared, speechless, and she saw on his face what she'd hoped to see. The stunned wonder changed to something else when he looked at her. No, she thought. He wasn't an idiot. And still cautious.
I need a second. Or an hour. Or a month. It's hard to take in. I don't know why I never expected when I've seen your work.
It's different when it's you.
That, yeah, but...
He just couldn't wrap his brain around it.
It's... You put Barney in it.
I thought at first I'd use a woman or a child. And then I watched you with him. Him with you. Saw how his trust in you has changed his life. His world. Like mine for you has changed mine.
It's the most amazing thing. You made me look...
Exactly as you are, she interrupted. Every hour I spent on this work showed me more and more of who you are. More of who I am. And we are. I didn't fall in love with you during the work. She laid a hand on his heart. You can give Barney some credit for when I did. How I fell when I saw you the first time with him, washing that poor, skinny, scared dog, laughing when he soaked you and looked at your face. I fell realizing you had that inside you.
He closed his hand over hers.
Say it, okay? I don't care if he gets the credit. I'll buy him caviar milk bones. But I really want you to look at me, Simone. Look at me and say the words.
This is who you are to me. She touched the sculpture. This is who you are, she repeated, pressing her other hand on his heart. This is the man I love. You're who I love.
He lifted her to her toes, then an inch higher, capturing her mouth as she hung suspended, holding it as he brought her down.
Don't ever stop.
I cast your heart and mine together in bronze. That's forever.
She gripped him tight, pressed her face to his shoulder.
You waited for me. You waited until I could tell you.
Waiting's over.
He took her mouth again. Circled her toward the stairs.
Come with me. Be with me. I need...
His phone went off.
Fuck. Just fuck.
He yanked it out.
Yeah, yeah. It better be...
His eyes went flat. Cold.
Where? Anybody hurt? Okay, I'm on my way. Sorry. Damn it.
I'll come with you.
No, no. Cop business.
What cop business?
Somebody shot through the window of a cabin up on Forest Hill.
Oh, my God.
Nobody's hurt. Cecil's already there, but I need to go.
Be careful.
Probably some asshole trying to shoot a deer and probably long gone. Let's go, Barney.
I'll be back.
He caught Simone's face in his hands, kissed her. When Reed arrived at the cabin, one neatly tucked into the inland woods, Cecil walked out.
Hey, Chief. I heard the dispatch go out when I was on my way home, so I radioed Donna I'd take it since I was close.
What have we got?
Family from Augusta renting the cabin for a week. Couple and two kids. They're having some ice cream, talking about going for a walk and hear a shot, a sort of pop, and breaking glass. This window here.
He walked Reed over to examine a side window with a hole and radiating cracks from it in the glass.
Hit a lamp inside, too, Cecil told him. The wife grabbed the kids up, kept them down and away from the windows. The husband called 911. He looked around out here some after, but didn't see anything.
Reed examined the damaged window, turned to study the trees and the shadows deepening in them with dusk. Inside, he spent some time soothing nerves and tempers before hunkering down by the broken lamp. Avoiding the shards from the globe, he pulled out a penlight, shined it under a chair, and came up with a BB. While he soothed, reassured, apologized to the frazzled family, Patricia watched the cabin through field glasses. She'd noted Reed's response time, the make, color, tags of his car for future reference. When he stepped out again, she lifted the BB rifle onto her shoulders, softly said, "Bang," and laughed.
No island kid's stupid enough to shoot a BB gun like that, Chief. It has to be some dumb shit summer kid.
We're going to go by all the cabins and cottages in this area, see if we can find a dumb shit. I appreciate the overtime, Cecil.
Oh, that's no problem.
They split up to handle it, but Reed's thoughts kept circling. A small cabin, he thought. Four people inside. But the pellet hits in an area no one's near at that time. And bullseye's a lamp. Maybe a dumb shit. Maybe not so dumb. For the next week, Reed dealt with a rash of petty vandalism. Spray-painted obscenities on the window of the sunrise. Flower pots stolen right off the porch of the mayor's house. Three cars keyed while their owners enjoyed dinner at the water's edge. All four tires of another slashed as it sat in front of a rental overlooking the South Inlet. He sat in the mayor's office as Hildy unloaded.
You have to put a stop to this, Reed. Every damn day it's something else, and it's not the usual summer problems. I'm spending most of my time on the phone dealing with complaints. If this keeps up, it's going to cost us revenue and damage our reputation. Dobson's making noises about writing up a petition to have you removed as chief. You need to handle this.
We're doing full island loop patrols on foot, in cruisers. I added night patrols. We're on 24 hours.
And still can't catch some nasty kids.
If we were dealing with nasty kids, we would have. This is too smart for that.
He rose, went to the map on her wall, tapped various points.
Every sector's had a hit of some kind. That means whoever's doing it needs to have a car or bike. And the time frames are all over the clock.
You think this isn't some nasty bored kid or kids, but a deliberate attempt to undermine the island?
Something like that. I'm going to shut it down, Mayor. This is my home, too.
As Reed walked back to the station, he couldn't blame Hildy for the anger. He had plenty of his own. He couldn't blame her for the shaky faith in him, as he believed that was one of the purposes of the vandalism. Hit every point of the island, he thought. See how he responded, how long it took, where he went, how he got there. Not bored kids, he thought. Hobart. And she was stalking him. He'd checked the rental offices, the B&Bs, the hotel. No single check-ins. But she'd found a way around that because he knew she was on the island. And watching him. He ran through the content of the last card. Number 4. A sympathy card this time. Why be subtle?
Enjoying the summer, asshole? Soak up those rays because you're going to spend a lot of time in the cold and dark. I won't come to your funeral, though all those tears would be delicious.
but I'll come back and spit on your fucking grave. My luck's in. Yours is running out. It's time to die. XXOO, Patricia.
Pretty direct, he thought. But what had interested him more had been the scrawling handwriting and the pressure of the pen on the card. She'd written this one while riding hard on emotion, and she hadn't been as clever with the rental car she'd used for her last kill. Not when they'd tracked it down with GPS within an hour of that kill. He had to leave it to the feds to track down if she'd taken a cab or bus from the airport, rented another car, bought one. Maybe she'd already had one waiting in the lot. But whatever she'd driven out of Ohio, she'd driven onto the ferry in Portland and onto the island. Because she was here. Patricia opened the door to the twice-a-week housekeeper in a robe, her wet hair slicked back.
Oh, my! We overslept!
I can come back.
No, no, please, it's fine. We wouldn't want to throw you off schedule. My husband's still in the shower, but maybe you can start in the loft? He told me to tell you thanks for offering to at least vacuum in his office, but it's fine.
She rolled her eyes.
I swear, he thinks about his work like state secrets or whatever. I'm going to get dressed. You're welcome to make yourself some coffee. I sure miss being allowed that one cup a day.
She patted her belly as she crossed the living area to the master. She opened the door to let the sound of the shower she'd left running spill out before she closed it again. As she dressed, capris in a pink t-shirt, fancy hiking boots, she held a conversation with no one, added some laughter, opened and closed drawers, the closet door. She inspected the room, bed tumbled on both sides, a spy thriller and a nearly empty glass of wine on one nightstand, a historical romance and teacup on the other. A man's belt slung over the back of a chair. Damp towels in the bathroom. Two toothbrushes, bristles damp. Male and female toiletries. Satisfied, she opened the door, looked back over her shoulders.
Yes, Brett, I'm coming. Go ahead. We're going for a walk, Kaylee,
she called out to the housekeeper.
You can do the bedroom anytime.
Have fun.
Oh, we will. We love it here. I'm just getting my water bottle and pack, honey.
Men, she said for the benefit of the housekeeper in the loft above.
So impatient.
She left by the opposite door and decided she'd take a stroll to the house a little chatter and gossip had revealed belonged to the chief of police. A long hike for a pregnant woman, she thought with a smirk. But she felt up to it. For the next few days, the vandalism eased off, making most conclude the troublemaker's vacation had ended and they'd gone off island. Reed didn't buy it.
She's still here.
Reed drank a Coke on Cece's patio while the sun set like glory at water's edge.
She's smart enough to know screwing around could get her caught with the extra patrols, but she's still getting the rhythm.
He turned to them, these women he loved.
You could do me a big favor. Get on the ferry in the morning, take a trip somewhere.
She won't leave you, Cece said. I won't leave either one of you. Ask for something else.
If you were off somewhere, he persisted, Florence or New York.
Reed, Simone interrupted.
Damn it, staying just means I have to worry about you. She's gearing up. It's no goddamn coincidence she's here. And she's here when we're coming up on the 13th anniversary of Down East. She slipped it in the card. My luck's running out, hers is coming in. Unlucky 13. It's less than a week, and I don't need the two of you scattering my focus out of sheer, wrong-headed female stubbornness. You're in my way.
He didn't shout, and his deliberate tone added edgy barbs to every word.
So get out of it and let me do my goddamn job.
That's not going to work either, Cece said, cool and calm. Trying to pick a fight, make us mad, isn't going to change a thing. But damn good try.
Look, this isn't...
I hid before, Simone interrupted.
Bullshit!
Now he did shout, and had Barney bellying under a table.
Don't start that bullshit with me.
I did hide. I'm not saying it wasn't the right thing to do, because it was. But it's not the right thing now. And it would strip away what it took me years to build back up again.
Simone.
At wit's end, he pulled off his cap,
dragged a hand through his hair.
I swore I'd keep you and Cece safe.
You said you want to start a life with me. This is our life. You think she'll try to do this on the 22nd?
He'd try calm reason again.
I think that makes a circle for her, yeah. I think she knows damn well you and I are together, and if she can take me out, she'll come for you.
Not you first, he said.
You're still higher on the chain than me, and she'll want to eliminate the biggest threat. I'm the cop with a gun. You're not. If the two of you went off-island until after the 22nd, I wouldn't have to factor your safety into the mix.
For me and Cece, not to be safe means she'd have eliminated you. You won't let that happen. You won't let that happen, Simone repeated, rising and moving to him. Because you know if she kills you, she'll kill me. Maybe not now, but sooner or later. And you won't let her. I believe that. Trust that absolutely. Besides,
she framed his frustrated face with her hands.
I have too much to do to go off to Florence or New York or anywhere else. I have work. And it occurs to me the 23rd's a good time for me to move in with you. I have a lot to pack up.
He dropped his forehead to hers.
That's a damn sneak attack.
The 23rd, Reed. Because you'll have ended this. I'm moving in.
Cece, you'll come to dinner.
I'll bring champagne.
I'll need to keep my studio here until Reed and I finalize the design and plans for my workspace at our house.
It's always here for you, my clever, clever girl.
That day, the 23rd, it's going to be a symbol for us, she told him. A reminder that whatever terrible things happen, we're together.
I think this calls for a big pitcher of sangria.
Reed shook his head at Cece.
I can't. I've got to get back. Stay here, he told Simone. I'll be back as soon as I can. Come on, Barney, we're not going to get anywhere with these two. Cast in the same damn mold.
That's why you love us, Cece called as Reed walked out.
I'm proud of you, Simone. I'm terrified.
Me too.
As Reed completed another patrol, Patricia sat in her war room, sipping a gin and tonic, heavier on the gin as time passed. It felt like a waste to pour it down the sink. And the gin made a nice change of pace from scotch. A couple of drinks, or three, helped her sleep. How was she supposed to sleep without a little help when her mind was so full, so busy? It wasn't like her father. She didn't get drunk, did she? It wasn't like her mother. She wasn't using the booze to wash down pills.
She just needed a little help to calm her mind. Nothing wrong with that.
So, sipping gin, she studied her maps, her timelines, the photos taken with her phone. The fact that two of her top targets were lovebirds both infuriated and delighted her.
They didn't deserve even an hour of happiness. But then again, she would slit their happiness at the throat and watch it bleed dry.
And with a little more time, she still had a little more time, to observe the bitch, maybe she'd kill two birds with one stone. On the other hand, she thought as she rose to pace, she'd always planned to take out the bitch who'd called the cops last. She still had a half dozen targets on her board, leading up to the cunt cop who'd killed JJ, then finishing it off with the interfering little bitch who'd hidden like a coward. She'd come this far following the plan, she assured herself, and had the cops and FBI running in circles. She should stick with the plan. If JJ had stuck with the plan. It hadn't been his fault, she thought, wrapping a restless fist on her thigh as she paced and sipped. Simone Knox killed JJ, and she wouldn't forget it. So maybe if, and only if, the opportunity fell into her lap, she'd take the bitch out early. Otherwise, she picked up her gun, aimed it at Reed's picture.
It's just you and me, asshole. And taking you out?
Yeah, that's going to break your little whore's heart.
And the cunt cop's, too. Delicious tears. That works for me.
Chapter 29. Sometimes the gin and tonic, the pacing, the planning, didn't work. To relax, to calm the increasing busyness of her mind, Patricia indulged in her favorite late-night pastime. In the beach cottage she'd grown to hate and planned to burn to the ground before she left the island, with the doors locked, curtains drawn, Patricia switched to Scotch on the Rocks and watched her video. It enthralled and entertained her no matter how often she viewed it. She looked good. Damn good. Long gone was the fat girl with pimples and bad hair who'd sat in her room watching TV and learning how to hack. In fact, she looked amazing. Trim and fit in the camera-friendly red dress she'd chosen. Body conscious, they called it, she mused as she started it over from the beginning. Flawless makeup. But her. No contacts to change eye color, no appliances, no wig. All Patricia. She looked better than that hack reporter, that's for sure. Younger, stronger, and damn it, prettier, too. Maybe she should have taken the time to press out the suit McMullen wore. It looked like she'd, ha-ha, slept in it. But it didn't matter. Patricia Hobart was the star, just as she was meant to be. Gone was the girl who'd dreamed of being important, who'd curled up in the dark and imagined killing the boy who'd dubbed her Patty the Porker, the girl who'd stolen her panties and pinned them to the elephant, her mother, her grandparents, the perfect families she saw in the mall. Dreaming. Dreaming of killing all of them. All of them. All of them. Crunching on sour cream and onion chips. A well-earned reward, just this one time, she listened to herself. How clearly she told her story. Told the world how mistreated and abused she'd been. Her parents, her grandparents, teachers, fucking bullying kids. She laughed, as she always did, when she got to the part about the asshole kid taking that header off the bike she'd rigged, busting up his face. She wished, how she wished he'd broken his neck. See how smart she'd been? She'd been born smarter than anyone else. The video proved it. And look how fascinated McMullen looked. Hear that awe in her voice? She'd known she'd been outclassed. She understood what kind of brains, what kind of will it took to accomplish all Patricia Hobart had accomplished. Too bad McMullen had started babbling, had shown herself to be what she'd always been. Just another opportunist looking to get rich, to get in front of the cameras and brag.
Too bad you pissed me off, Patricia muttered, pouring another finger of scotch before she fast-forwarded to the kill.
Her only regret there? She hadn't thought to step out, move into camera range. She'd have enjoyed watching herself raise the gun and fire. But McMullen made up for it, made her laugh again.
There it is. Shocked face and bang, bang, bang!
Howling with laughter, she grabbed more chips.
Talk about a ratings bonanza! But not for you.
No, not for you, she thought as she went back. Chose the clip. One where she was the star. One where she told the frigging world that before her 15th birthday, she'd had the brains, the skills, the freaking vision to begin to plan a mass shooting the size and scope of Down East. She studied it again, and once again, nodding, nodding, pleased with her own clarity, approving what she thought of as the stunned admiration on McMullen's face. There, only a scant mile and a quarter from Reed's home, she hacked into some dumb shit in Nashville's Facebook account, attached the video to his wall. Just the start, she thought, and decided she deserved another drink. After the 22nd, after she, ha-ha, again, shot the sheriff, she'd send another clip to the FB-fucking-I. With satisfaction, she looked up at her wall of targets, pointed a finger.
Then, Chaz Four-Eyes Bergman, you're up.
She lifted the scotch to toast him.
New York, here I come.
She started the video over, watched it all again.
I'm so glad you came.
In her studio, Simone clung to me.
I wish you didn't have to go so soon. One day isn't enough.
I'll see you at Nari's wedding in September. You and Cece. You'll bring Reed.
I will. Then you'll come for Nat's wedding in October.
Absolutely. And I'll be back in December for Cece's big bash. A 1, 2, 3. But come with me, Sim. I have to ask again. You and Cece come back to Boston with me for a few days.
You know why I can't. Reed shouldn't have asked you to try to persuade me.
He loves you. I love you.
I know. It's why he asked and why you came. I love him, so I can't go. I love you, so you have to.
That wouldn't make me. But he made me swear I'd be on that ferry back to the mainland with or without you.
In frustration, Mi jammed her hands in her pockets.
I shouldn't have given him my word. Tomorrow's the 22nd. Why wasn't it enough for her, Sim? All that death her brother caused wasn't enough.
It was always her underneath it all. I think he was just a defective weapon.
Reed says she's devolving, making mistakes.
Jesus, Mi, she put that video clip on Facebook.
She needed attention so much, she risked hacking an account and putting it out there.
But they haven't traced the hack yet.
They will. But Reed's going to stop her whether they trace it or not.
I've never known you to believe in anyone but Cece the way you do him.
And you.
13 years,
Mi said with a sigh, turning to the shelves holding the faces of the lost.
What you're doing here matters so much. People forget. Then there's another nightmare, followed by another. And still, after the grief and outrage, people forget. No one can forget when they look at what you're doing.
I tried to forget.
But you never did. And Tiffany?
Carefully, Mi took down the bust.
Still right here.
To remind me that everyone who survived July 22nd carries the scars. But we survived, Mi. We can remember those who didn't and still treasure the life we have. Tiffany didn't intend to give me the gift of that insight, but she did. So I'll keep her face in my studio as a thank you. Mi replaced the bust.
You haven't done Tish.
I want to do her last. She means more to me than anyone else, so I need to finish it with her.
I still miss her. Will you do me a favor? No, I'm not going to push you to leave,
Mi said when Simone tensed.
When you're ready to start Tish's bust, will you let me come? I know you don't like anyone in your space when you're working, but I'd like to be here.
I can do better. When I'm ready, you'll help me. We'll do it together.
You always said as an artist, I made a good scientist.
So true, Simone smiled. But we'll do it together. Now I'm kicking you out so you don't miss the ferry.
If anything happens to you,
positive thoughts.
She took Mi's hand, led her out.
Maybe she's not here. Not on the island. That's a positive negative.
Cece came in from her studio as they walked down the stairs.
It's nearly sunset. How about drinks to toast day's end?
Mi has to go.
I could stay for a drink.
And miss the ferry.
I'll take the next one.
You're stalling, Simone said. You gave your word.
I shouldn't have.
Annoyed with herself, Mi picked up her purse. She'd caught the first available plane after Reed's call, hadn't even packed a bag. Now she sighed.
He thought I'd just phone you, and he put the hammer down on me when I said I was coming. He's sneaky and smart. I really like him, Simone. I really like him.
Me too. You'll have more time to get to know him when you come back. We'll have time to show you the house, and by then, finalized plans for my studio.
More time, she added as she walked Mi to the door.
I want you to text me tomorrow. Every hour.
If that's what it takes.
We're going to look out for each other.
Cece kissed Mi goodbye.
You come back soon.
I feel like I'm abandoning you,
Mi said, as Simone walked her to the car she'd rented in Portland.
You're not.
You're trusting me. This island's always given me shelter when I needed it. That's not going to change. Text me when you land in Boston. And tomorrow, every hour on the hour, Sim. I promise.
Simone watched her drive off, turned back to the house. She caught the movement, stopped, saw the woman walking along the quiet road hesitate.
Can I help you? Simone asked.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry. I was just admiring the house. It's so beautiful. So unique.
The woman laid a hand on the swell of a baby bump, adjusted her sunglasses.
I'm being nosy, she said with a sheepish smile. I heard in the village a famous artist lives here, and I wanted to see it from up here. I've seen it from the beach. Are you a famous artist? Cece Lennon, the lady in the gallery, said.
It happened several times a summer. An off-islander wandering by, often taking photos of the house and hoping to catch a glimpse of Cece Lennon. So Simone smiled. My grandmother. Blonde hair, Simone noted, with a floppy-brimmed sun hat over it. A backpack, expensive hiking shoes, a pink t-shirt that read, Bun in the Oven, and well-toned athletic legs in mid-thigh khaki shorts.
I bet my husband will know her work. Brett's the art buff. I can't wait to tell him. We're here on vacation for a few weeks from Columbus.
No, Simone thought, because there was too much Maine in the voice for Ohio. Columbus, where another survivor had been shot, and the postmark on the last card.
I hope you're enjoying your stay.
Simone took a step back toward the house. She saw it now, despite the dark glasses, the hat, the mound of belly. She saw it in the jawline, the profile, the shape of the ears. She knew faces.
Oh, so much. It's our pre-baby vacation. Do you live here, too?
The island's my home. Another step back. Another. A reach behind for the doorknob. She knew faces, she thought again, and saw the change. In the flash of a moment, they recognized each other. She bolted inside as Patricia dragged at her pack. She locked the door, leaped toward a stunned Cece. Run, she said.
Reed briefed his men again, gave his thanks to the pair of FBI agents Jacoby had sent him. Then he went out to walk the village, the beach. He intended to walk home, keeping visible. Maybe, just maybe, he'd draw Hobart out, he thought. He saw Bess Trix through the glass door of Island Rentals, decided to give that another shot.
Chief, Barney, she shook her head. The answer's the same as always. And look, Kaylee can back that up. She does a lot of the cottages and cabins, and along with Hester, supervises the rest of the housekeeping crew.
Okay, let's try this. Have you had anyone? Eliminate families, people with kids. Anyone who strikes you as strange? Or that one of the crews told you about that strikes them?
Kaylee rolled her eyes, bent down to pet Barney.
Chief, if I start on the strange with summer people, we'd be here till next Tuesday. There's the four friends out in Windsurf who pay for three times a week, and I know damn well are swapping partners about as often.
Ah, now, Kaylee.
It's the God's truth, Bess. You can ask Hester. We clean that one together.
She wound the tip of her braid around her finger as she got into the gossip.
Then there's the couple easily going on 80 who want daily and go through a bottle of vodka between them every 24. There's the guy who keeps the second bedroom locked up and the shades pulled on the windows. The wife says it's his office, and I have to wonder what kind of work a man does that has him lock everything up.
He keeps the door locked to that bedroom?
Well, now, Chief, you've got an off-limits room in your place.
I don't lock the door.
I guess you're more trusting. I won't, or Hester either, go poking in.
But he locks the door.
He does, and works a lot, it seems. That doesn't stop him from going through a goodly amount of scotch and gin. Expensive stuff. Wine and beer on top of it.
Is he on his own?
With his wife. And I'm going to say he's got a nice-looking young wife, too, but they haven't cuddled up, if you get me, since they got here. The person who changes your sheets knows.
Kaylee.
Well, he's asking about strange, Bess, and that's strange. Makes you wonder how the wife got pregnant in the first place. He tosses clean clothes in the hamper, which is better than the group at the...
Let's stick with the couple, then. Where's the pregnant woman and the secretive husband?
Oh, that's the Serenity. It's tucked back in there. Got nice views from the deck off the loft, but it's a walk to the beaches in the village. Some want more quiet and privacy,
Bess pointed out.
Some do. He likes hiking, and doesn't he make that poor woman go with him? And if he's not dragging her off to hike, he's closed up in his office, at least on the days I clean.
What's he look like?
Reed asked her.
She
wound the tip of her braid around her finger again, frowned.
Well, I couldn't say now that you ask. I haven't laid eyes on him.
Every muscle in Reed's back tensed. You've never actually seen him?
I have to say I haven't, since you ask. I guess that's strange, too. He's been in the shower, or the bedroom, or that other bedroom whenever I've come by. Then they head out for a hike. I always start that place in the loft, and I'm done before they get back.
Pull up the booking,
he told Bess.
Have you met him?
He asked her.
I don't think so. He made the booking online. If I remember right, she picked up the keys and package because he'd been delayed a couple days. I've seen her around, but here it is. Brett and Susan Breen, Cambridge, Mass.
Well, now that's strange, too,
Kaylee said.
Their car, a nice silver SUV, has Ohio plates.
Make, model, year,
Reed demanded.
How am I to know?
I don't know the year, Bess put in, but it's a Lincoln. My brother has one. I saw it when she came in. It's silver, like Kaylee said, and it's pretty new, I'd say.
Describe her, Reed snapped at Kaylee.
She's young and pretty in a made-up sort of way. I've never seen her not made up, even with her hair still wet from the shower. Can't be more than around 26 or so. Blonde hair, and I guess about my height. I think her eyes are blue, but I haven't seen that much of her either. Like I said, they go out when I'm there. She's pregnant, that's a fact.
Not necessarily, Reed thought.
He yanked out a card.
Call this number. Tell Special Agent Jacoby I need a full run on those names.
The FBI?
Now.
He rushed out, yanked out his radio.
Maddie, I might have something. I want you and Cecil to meet me at the Serenity Beach Rental. Don't approach, just watch. I'm getting my car and I'm on my way.
He beat them there. No car in the drive, he noted. No lights on in the encroaching dusk. He didn't leash the dog as he circled the house. If trouble came, he wanted Barney to be able to run. Through the windows he studied the great room, the open living, kitchen, dining areas. A pair of men's hiking boots, from the size of them, stood by the door. Funny, he thought. A man who hiked routinely ought to put more wear on his boots. Those looked straight out of the shoebox. A single plate, a single glass, sat on the counter by the sink. He tried the door. Locked. He walked to the bedroom windows. Another solo glass, one side of the bed, and the pillows propped up on only one side. A single towel hanging over the doors of the shower, he noted. The door from the bedroom onto a small deck, also locked. He walked down to the master bath windows, locked, but through them he saw makeup, a lot of it, scattered on the vanity counter. Double sinks, with men's toiletries shoved in a pile on the opposite side.
You put on a good show, Patricia, but not good enough.
He tried the back door before rounding the house to the second bedroom windows. He considered the drawn blackout shades, gave the windows a try, found them locked. As he reached in his pocket for his penknife, he heard his deputies pull up.
Get out a bolo on a Lincoln SUV, silver, he ordered. Ohio plates, and a blonde female, mid-20s, she'll look pregnant. Go on around front and do that.
Maddie eyed him, eyed the shaded windows.
Are you planning to jimmy that window, Chief?
Around front, deputy.
She took out a hefty multi-tool.
This will do the job better and faster than that measly penknife you carry.
Is the looks pregnant, Hobart?
We're going to find out.
Reed took the multi-tool.
Oh, shit. We're going to break and enter?
Without glancing back at Cecil, Reed worked on the window.
Get that bolo in. If I'm wrong about this, we're going to owe a pregnant woman and her paranoid husband an apology. If I'm not, I'm going to be doing a lot of dancing around probable cause.
Not unless you're sloppy with the jimmying. That window was unlocked when we got here,
Maddie said easily.
And the shade opened just enough to see in. Nothing to see, no harm.
Reed eased the window open a couple inches, pushed up the shade.
My turn for holy shit,
Maddie said as she peered in with him.
Cecil! Suspect as described is Patricia Hobart. She's armed and dangerous. I want the ferry shut down.
Shut down?
It doesn't leave the island again until I clear it. Maddie, I want a 3-man team sitting on this house out of sight. Nick, Cecil, and Lorraine's solid. Get that started. The rest of us with our FBI friends are going to start a manhunt.
He pulled out his radio to begin coordinating when his phone rang.
Simone, I need you to...
She's here, at Cece's.
The voice, breathless with fear, turned his blood to ice.
I saw her. She's blonde, wearing a fake pregnancy belly. She's...
He heard wind, the whoosh of water, and the breathless fear in her voice.
Where are you?
Running. The beach, the rocks. I heard glass break, but she hasn't come out yet. You need to hurry.
Take cover. Stay down. Stay quiet. She's at Cece's,
he said as he ran for his car.
I want everybody to move in there. Nick and Lorraine out here, on this house in case she slips through. Shut down the fucking ferry.
As if he sensed urgency and trouble, Barney leaped through the open passenger window, but for once didn't stick his head back out. Cece nearly stumbled when they reached the beach.
You're faster. Go, baby, go. Save your breath. We just have to get to the rocks. Get behind them.
She risked a glance behind.
She'll think we're in the house. She'll have to look through the house first.
Unless she looks out the big windows. Simone gripped the kitchen knife she'd grabbed on the run out. Run, she thought. Hide. And when there was no choice, fight. They reached the rocks, crouched down behind them. Water soaked through shoes, over ankles and calves, spray buffeted and chilled.
Reed's coming.
I know, baby.
Winded, Cece struggled to find calming breaths.
You got us out safe and he's coming. Tide's coming in.
We're strong swimmers and we may need to swim. She might see our footprints on the beach.
Calmer now, determined to stay that way, Cece shook her head.
It's getting dark. That'll make them harder to spot.
If she sees them, if she starts down, I want you to swim out. Swim toward the village. Now you listen,
she said when Simone shook her head.
I've lived my life and done more than most with it. You do what I tell you.
We sink or swim together.
Simone risked a peek over the rocks, ducked down again.
She's on the patio. Keep close to the rocks. The sun's gone down and the moon's not up yet. She can't see us.
Knee-deep now, with the tug and pull of the surf dragging at them. Reed saw the SUV a quarter mile from Cece's, took a turn at a speed that had his tires screaming nearly as loud as his sirens.
Hear that, Patricia? I'm coming for you.
She heard them, but she'd already started down the steps to the beach. 911, bitch, she thought on a quick slice of panic. Full fucking circle. She considered making a run. Maybe she could get to her car. But odds were against it. Maybe she shouldn't have had that drink before she walked down to the old hippie freak of an artist's house. She could admit that. And maybe she shouldn't have stood there watching that bitch and her Asian friend. The way they'd hugged and kissed disgusted her. Lesbians, no question. She shouldn't have started talking to Simone fucking Knox. Shouldn't have moved in that close, but she'd gotten caught up.
So close. So close.
Bang, bang, you're dead. Gone off half-cocked, she thought, just like JJ. No point worrying about that now. She just had to be smart, as always, and she'd finish this just a little ahead of schedule. As the light dimmed, she edged back toward the rise. It would conceal her until the cops... Let Quartermain be one of them. Got at least halfway down the steps. She'd take them out. Every last one of the half-assed island cops. Take them out, she thought, and unhooked the damp fake belly for more mobility. Use the dark for cover and get to the water. She'd swim to the marina, steal a boat. Pull in somewhere down the coast, jack a car.
She'd need to get into one of her bank boxes for cash and IDs, another weapon, but she'd figure it out. She always figured it out. And she would come back one day for the bitch who'd caused this goddamn bullshit. Who'd caused it all. She considered the rocks, wondered if she could make it before the cops came. Wondered if the bitch and the old hippie freak were hiding there. She gathered to sprint, heard the sirens cut off.
I need to look again, Simone whispered. I need to see. She had to hear the sirens. She has to know Reed's coming. I need to see.
Simone eased up, strained to see through the encroaching dark. No moon yet. No stars. That in-between slice between night and day. Then she saw him, stepping out onto the patio, gun drawn and sweeping right, left, right again. Her breath came out on a wave of relief, then stopped again when she saw the movement below the house.
Damn it, what's happening?
Cece edged up beside her.
Thank the gods and goddesses, there's our hero.
He can't see her. He's coming down for us and he can't see her.
What are you doing? Simone, for God's sake!
Simone dragged herself onto the rocks, kicked off her shoes as the surf tried to pull her back. She made it to her knees and shouted for him. It happened fast, though he'd relive it countless times in slow motion. He heard her, over the whoosh of the water, saw Simone, the silhouette of her kneeling on the rocks. Even as she waved her arms, pointed, Barney exploded with happy barks and raced down the beach steps. At the base, Barney looked right, went into his protective crouch, and quivered. Patricia stepped out and swung left to take her shot. Reed took his first. Hers grazed his shoulder just above the scar. He put three in her, center mass. He kept his weapon trained on her as he continued down, kicked her gun away from where it had fallen out of her hand. Conscious, breath coming in pants, she stared at him out of blue eyes glazed with pain and fury.
Don't you die on me, Patricia! Call for an ambulance!
He shouted as his deputies poured out onto the patio and more came from the north side of the beach as ordered.
Suspect's down! She's down! I want a couple of you to help get Simone and Cece in the house so they can get warm, get dry.
Chief. Maddie stopped beside him as he knelt down, applying pressure to Patricia's chest wounds. You're shot.
Not really. I know how that feels. She just nicked me. Thanks to my woman and my fucking moron of a dog, she just nicked me. Keep breathing, Patricia. I want to think of you doing a whole bunch of consecutive lifetimes in a cell. Keep breathing.
Reed.
He glanced up at Simone and Cece, both pale, their eyes too dark, both shaking.
I need you to go on up, get on dry clothes. When you can, you're both going to give statements to Maddie and Leon, separately. I'll be there as soon as I can. There's nothing to worry about now.
He wanted to grab them both, hold them both, but not with his hands covered in blood.
She shot you. She...
You're going to make me say it. It's just a flesh wound. I'm okay. Cece needs to get warm and dry. Take Barney, would you? He's a little shaken up, too.
The ambulance is here.
Cecil rushed down.
They're heading down now. Good, Cecil. I want you to unclip my holster, take my weapon until we have all the statements. Maddie's in charge until this is cleared.
No, sir, Chief.
Cecil, that's how it's done.
I won't do it. You can fire me, but I won't do it.
He'll have to fire me, too, Maddie put in. And the rest of us, because none of us are doing that.
Ah, well.
Reed straightened, stepping back as the paramedics took over. Chapter 30. Though Maddie corroborated Simone's eyewitness account, as she'd been 10 steps behind Reed, he gave his statement to Leon.
I'm going to ask you to take my weapon.
Nope.
Deputy Wendell, I'm going to ask you to take the weapon I fired so we keep the chain of evidence clean. I'm not asking you to take over, just to take the weapon, bag it, seal it, label it. I've got a backup in an ankle holster and have had since Memorial Day.
Leon considered, rubbed his chin. Okay, then. You get that arm